Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When we hear Jesus in today's gospel reading, call those who labor and are heavy laden to come to him who gives an easy yoke and a light burden. We may think, as we should think, that he is calling us. We labor. We are heavy laden. Is there anyone who does not in some way labor under a difficult figurative, if not literal, yoke? Is there anyone who is not in some way heavily burdened? If we think about the situations in the world and country around us, if we think about the situations in our church body and congregation, if we think about the situation in our homes and personal lives, there are any number of things that can not only feel, but also actually be oppressive. Jesus promises ultimate rest from all such oppression. And we trust his promise, and we look forward to its fulfillment. But there is one thing in particular from which Jesus promises ultimate rest, that at least some people of Jesus' day and our day often miss. Just before today's gospel reading in St. Matthew's divinely inspired gospel account, Jesus had both answered questions raised by John the Baptizer and spoken highly of John the Baptizer, though fickle people complained about John the Baptizer as they complained about Jesus. Then Jesus began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. At that suitable time, Jesus spoke the words of today's gospel reading, thanking the Father for his concealing and revealing matters related to salvation, declaring himself to be the Christ and revealer of the Father, and inviting all who are sorry for their sins to come to him for the forgiveness of their sins. Two years ago, when I was out west in Big Spring, Texas, for our member Emily Melendrez's funeral, I wanted my friend who lived in El Paso, Texas, to come to see me. After all, I told him, I had already come 400 miles, more than halfway, and he would have to come only the remaining 340 miles. My friend was not persuaded by my argument. However, when our Lord calls us to come to him, we are not meeting him halfway, or any place else in the middle either. By our own reason or strength, we cannot come to him. The people who did not repent in the cities where most of Jesus' mighty works had been done apparently thought of themselves as wise and understanding. And by nature, we might think of ourselves that way too. We may think that we know better than the Bible. Instead of regarding ourselves as little children, those who are untaught and unskilled and have nothing inherent about ourselves to commend ourselves. We may focus so much on the things of this world that we think oppress us that we miss the things that really oppress us. Things such as sin, death, and the power of the devil. Even believers' lives are, as St. Paul described his life in today's epistle reading, with a war waging inside of our bodies of death, in need of the deliverance that only comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. As we heard in the gospel reading, we cannot know the Father unless the Son reveals him to us. And out of God's great love for even us fallen people, In the power of the Holy Spirit, the Son does reveal the Father to us. God comes to us and so enables us to come to Him. From those who do not then come to Him in repentance and faith, God may hide matters related to salvation. But to those of us who do then come to Him, laboring and heavy laden by the terrors of sin and the death that we deserve on account of our sinful nature and all of our sin, Jesus gives rest for our souls by way of an easy yoke and a light burden. Jesus carries out the Father's gracious will. As we heard in today's Old Testament reading, our King brings salvation to us humbly. As we heard in today's Gospel reading, all things were handed over to Jesus by the Father. Those things belonged to the Son of God as a part of the shared divine nature. But as that Son of God assumed a human nature in the womb of the Virgin Mary, all those things were handed over to that human nature. And so Jesus calls us to come to Him, God and man, to find the Father and the Father's blessings. As St. Paul wrote to the Philippians, being found in human form, Christ Jesus humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. On the cross, Jesus died for us in our place, the death that we deserved. And Jesus rose from the grave, in part showing that God the Father had accepted His sacrifice on our behalf. And so the Holy Spirit leads us to be sorry for our sins, to trust God to forgive our sins for Jesus' sake, and to come for that rest, to come for that forgiveness of sins, to God's Word, especially in the sacraments. This past Friday, I had the privilege of communing our member John Wilson and his wife BJ, both of whom some of you may know. I communed them right after John, who had undergone heart surgery on Thursday, was discharged from Good Shepherd Hospital in Longview, where I had gone to visit them. With permission for our visit, we used the hospital's chapel, which chapel has Jesus' words of invitation from today's gospel reading etched in its glass door. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How appropriate. For regardless of where they are located, we come to Jesus at the lectern and at the pulpit. No matter our age, we come to Jesus at the baptismal font. We come to Jesus wherever we might confess our sins privately in order for our pastor to absolve us individually. And we come to Jesus at this altar and its rail, where we receive bread that is the body of Christ given for us and wine that is the blood of Christ shed for us. And so we receive the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, rest for our souls. No wonder the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther applied Jesus' invitation in today's gospel reading to the sacrament of the altar, and called it our highest and greatest good. In George Frederick Handel's 1741 oratorio, Messiah, the chorus appropriately sings about the Lord's easy yoke and light burden to a light and upbeat, joyous tune. Whether simply receiving God's forgiveness of sins through His word and sacraments, or also the beginning to keep God's law that follows from receiving the forgiveness of sins, the Lord's easy yoke and light burden is a far cry from the labor of the hard yoke and heavy burden of the terrors of sin and death. His yoke is so easy as to not make us weary. His burden is so light as to not make us burdened at all. His word and sacraments transform us so that we joyfully at least try to keep God's commandments according to our various callings in life. We learn from our Lord to be gentle and lowly in heart, and we live in his forgiveness of sins for our failing perfectly to keep God's commandments and to live humbly. As the people of Israel, who entered the promised land, still had a rest that they had yet to experience, so do we have a rest that we have yet to experience. As St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. When the Lord comes in glory, both believers whose bodies have rested in the grave and believers who are alive at that time, together will rest in the presence of God for eternity. Bodies and souls glorified, and so free from sin and the disease and death that sin brings. Because he loves us, the Lord gives us, who in repentance and faith come to him, laboring and heavy laden, an easy yoke and a light burden. As we prayed in today's collect, our Heavenly Father's mercy attends us all our days. He is our strength and support amid the wearisome changes of this world. And at life's end, he grants us his promised rest and the full joy of his salvation. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.